Let's turn to the Word of God as we read this morning in the book of Exodus. And we return to those verses we thought about last Lord's Day morning in Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, let's take time to read through to verse 23. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1-23. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. The Lord said unto Moses and Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Last time on the move with Moses, Moses continues to seek the help of God and the blessing of God upon him, and he seeks some further reassurance before he starts out into the work that God had called him to. We noted last Sunday morning Moses' further objections to the task, because despite all the confirmation that God had given to him, Moses was reluctant to assume such great responsibility. Here was a man who, despite the promises of God and the promise of God's presence, here was a man who was still fearful about the task that God had given into his hand. He feared Pharaoh, he feared the reaction of the people, and he feared the task in hand. We noted the concern that he expressed, because we read in these verses how that he was concerned about his own authority. How on earth would the people react when he would come to them and tell them that I am had sent him? He was worried he wouldn't be able to convince the people. He was worried that he would not be acceptable to the people. And he was worried that he would be rejected by the people. So he had a concern about how his authority might be received. He was concerned too about his own ability. He realized that this was a demanding task. It asked much from him. And Moses at that time felt he wasn't adequate for the task in hand. Beloved, it's always good to be humble regarding our gifts and understand our limitations, but we should never seek to make excuses when God sets his hand upon us and when God calls us to do a work from him. If God calls us, he will not only provide for us, but he'll give us the strength to see the task through. And of course, he was concerned as well about his assistant. He just couldn't feel up to doing the task alone, and God had to reassure him that Aaron would be with him. Now let's move on this morning from the concern that he expressed and note the confirmation that he experienced. Despite all the objections that Moses made, God continued to encourage his heart, and God gave to him further confirmation that everything would be all right. God addressed the problems in Moses' mind. And God sought to show him again that when God calls a man into the work, or God takes somebody and he sends them forth to do a work for him, that God will not just be with them, but God will be with them every step of the way, and God will provide for them and bring them assurances as and when they need them. How do we know that that was true as far as Moses was concerned? Well, note first of all the signs he was given. Look at those opening verses again in chapter 4, because Moses at this stage was not prepared to walk by faith. He's not prepared to take God at his word, and God had to give him 3 signs, signs that would assure him, but signs that would also add weight to the authority that God had already given him so that he would be accepted by the people. What were these signs? Look at the rod in Exodus 4, 2-5. The Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. He put forth his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. Someone has said concerning this, it's very significant that God chose an instrument for service. He didn't choose a royal scepter. He chose a serpent's rod, a servant's rod, a shepherd's rod. You see, God wants Moses to realize, not only is he not stepping out into this work to do it himself, but that God is going to give him the support and the aid and everything that he needs to get the task done. God is going to be the means of support for Moses so long as Moses continues to depend upon his God. This rod was a sign of omnipotence. It was a reminder to Moses that whatever he faced in days to come, he could rely entirely upon God, but he dare not go forth in his own strength. Beloved, this is a timely reminder for all of us today. It's a timely reminder for all of us as individuals, and it's certainly a timely reminder for the churches of our day and generation. Because it seems to me that so often, so much of what we attempt to do for God is done in the energy of the flesh. It's done our own way. It's always for our good. It's always so that we will get something out of it. And sometimes we just press on and we do it without ever consulting God, without asking of God what it is that He has for us, and without relying on God to see it through. Sometimes we go a warfaring in our own strength. And thereby we see little evidence of the presence and the power of God amongst us. You say to me, but Pastor, that's not true. I mean, we as believers today are utterly dependent upon God. Are we? Are we really as reliant upon God as we ought to be? Or perhaps are we really as dependent upon God as we used to be? I remember many years ago as a young Christian, being in the company of the late Pastor Magilton. And he and I were speaking about the Lord's work in general. He was trying to encourage me when I was starting out in those days. He had taken part in my induction, and we were just chatting together about prayer. And he said to me, John, never lose your dependence upon God. Never lose your dependence upon God. And then he went on to relate a story. He said, you know, John, I was brought up in Newton Ards. And he said, I'm going back now to the days of the war. You'll be saying, Pastor, you're going back that far. Well, I wasn't there at that time, but history says it took place. But, you know, he remembers going back to that time, and he said, you know, during those difficult, dark days, as a young believer, he says, I used to make my way down to the Newton Ards church. And he said, I used to have to join the queue of people who were making their way to the prayer meeting. And he said, you couldn't have got into the prayer meeting. You couldn't have got a seat in it. He says, the days were dark and they were difficult, and people knew and they felt their need of God. And I feel today that that's what we've lost. Don't need many queues to get into many prayer meetings now. In fact, in most prayer meetings, you could take half of the seats and build them up and set them out because they're never going to be filled. But for you and I as individuals, for us as a church, beloved, we need to realize our utter dependency upon God. Without Him, we can do absolutely nothing. The rod reminded Moses of God's omnipotent power, and Moses could not ever rely upon himself, his own strength, his own resources, because if he did so, then he was going to fail. Look at the second sign, the healing of his hand. Look at Exodus 4, verse 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as the other flesh. Here was another sign that if Moses used his rod aright, and if Moses depended entirely on the power of God, then God had the power to deliver his people. God had the power to deliver his people. Now remember, at this stage, his people are still in bondage in Egypt. Remember, at this stage, they are oppressed and afflicted, and they've been crying out to God, and they've been saying, but Lord, why have you not heard and answered prayer? Why are you not coming to deliver us? Because you promised a deliverer to us. And they're oppressed and they're afflicted. And as Moses starts out to minister to a people at the end of their tether, God says to Moses, listen, Moses, You depend only on me, for I have the power to deliver them. Moses knew the task wouldn't be easy. He's already been told that Pharaoh will harden his heart and he will not let the people go. He knows the enemy. It's going to be difficult to overcome. But you know what God was saying to Moses? He says, Moses, if you rely on me and you let me do my work, you will always be on the victory side. I have the power to deliver them. I'm not sending you, Moses, on a false errand. I'm not asking you to go to these people. I'm not asking you to go back to visit your brethren to disappoint them or you. I'm going to do it, Moses, and you must be prepared to trust me. Is it not the same for us today? Sometimes, beloved, we forget that we're not just looking for victory, but we're fighting in victory. We're standing on the victory of Calvary, where Christ has defeated all of his foes at the cross. And we go forward sometimes, not as a mighty army, not depending on the power of a sovereign Lord, but we go forward sometimes thinking it's not worth it because we're already defeated, and that's not so. That's not so. As the people of God, sometimes we're too defeatist and we're too timid, and we don't attempt great things for God because we just feel, despite our prayers and our pleadings and everything else, that maybe God's just not as able as we think. There is nothing impossible with God. He hasn't called us to himself and brought us together in this part of his vineyard in Lisburn to send us out on a false errand. He hasn't laid the evangelism of this area upon our hearts for us to go out to see nothing done, to go out with a defeatist attitude. God says, trust in me and I'll do it. Go forward with me and in my strength because I'm able. And even if you're not, there's nothing too difficult for me. Can you see the confirmation that God's giving to Moses? The rod reminding him of God's omnipotent power. The healing of the hand reminding him of God's power to deliver the people. And look at the third sign. God's judgment upon the land. Look at Exodus 4 verse 9. It shall come to pass if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood around the dry land. What was this sign? It was a sign given by God to Moses as a sign of God's judgment upon the land. You see, soon we're going to read of Pharaoh. And we're going to hear Moses coming and we're going to hear him speaking to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's going to say, did I not let the people go? And we're going to see these mighty manifestations of God's power. And still Pharaoh hardens his heart and he says, but I'm not going to let them go. And I'm not going to let them do it. Moses, you can speak till you're blue in the face. I am not going to do it. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? That could be discouraging for any man in his ministry. But before Moses starts out, God says to Moses, listen, Moses, I'm going to be with you. And you can depend on me. And I'm going to display my mighty power. And not even Pharaoh, who will harden his heart, is going to stand in my way. Because I have said it and I will do it. And you and I know today that God did it. For we hear the chariot wheels coming in pursuit of the folk who had left Egypt. And what happened? God moved his hand in judgment and they perished. Let me say something about that practically. For us and for the days in which we live. Beloved, sometimes we get down and discouraged when we are defeated. And we don't like to be defeated. Whether it's in our own individual lives or in church life. But sometimes there are defeats along the way. You and I don't win every battle. But I can assure you today that you're going to win the war. Not every battle we come out rejoicing with the spoils. But God says, despite the days in which we're living, despite the enemy we have to overcome, despite the setbacks, and there are many of them, God says, you leave this all with me. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. He will do as he pleases when it pleases him. Do you know it's a very dangerous thing for men to fool about with God? God doesn't need us today to fight his battles for him. He can do that himself. Men may live in rebellion against him, flaunt themselves in sin before his lovely face. And time will pass, but there's one thing certain, that God's word is true and will remain steadfast. That God will deal with the enemies. And God will one day gain the victory. Some of you are not saved this morning. I say this very reverently. And I say this very lovingly. Sometimes you have it in your mind that you're just going to take God on and do your own thing and rebel against him and live in your sin. And you think that as far as God's concerned, there's nothing to be seen. And there's nothing to be said, and as far as you're concerned, God will never do anything to you. Listen, my friend, you're in very dangerous ground. At this present moment of time, God in his love and in his long suffering has allowed you to continue that life that you're living. But there's a line drawn in the sand that you'll not pass over. And there's a day coming when your rebellion will be no more. And I say this very, very reverently. On that day, my father used to say to me, you'll know who's boss. Because you see, God will and is going to deal with you. So don't you waste opportunities that are granted to you to come to know Christ as your Savior. What about the world in which we're living, Pastor? What about it? Days are dark and difficult, increasingly more secular as every generation comes and goes. What does that mean? Does it mean that God's no longer in control, that God doesn't know what he's doing? Let me tell you, God's in control and God knows what he's doing. And the day will come when God in flaming fire will take vengeance against them that obey not the gospel. Doesn't matter whether if it's an individual. Doesn't matter whether it's a country or a nation or the world in which we live. You can be absolutely sure that God will have a say. And God will have his day. Moses, look at these signs. My omnipotent power is at your disposal continually. Israel's deliverance is absolutely certain. And despite the hardness of Pharaoh's heart and his rebellion, I'm in control and my judgment is forthcoming. The signs he was giving. The speech he was given very quickly. Look at Exodus 4, 14 to 16. Moses had already said that he's not an eloquent speaker. God puts an end to that thought. He's still reluctant to step out in faith, and God helps him further not just with the signs. But if Moses couldn't speak, then Aaron could speak for him. And now Aaron's enlisted into the task God had asked Moses to do. Look at verse 14. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart, and thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God." Moses would receive the message from God. Aaron would do the public speaking. You know why? It wasn't the orator that mattered. It wasn't even the messenger. It was the message that God had given. D.L. Moody, on one occasion, the evangelist, was preaching in London in a university to a group of very intellectual students. After he preached a very moving and a sermon that was blessed of God and salvation, one young university student came to Moody and said to him, "Mr. Moody, I counted today that you made 18 grammatical errors in your sermon." "Oh," said Moody, very surprised. He said, "Young man, I may have made that many grammatical errors, but," he said, "I use my grammar for the Lord. What do you do with yours?" It wasn't that Moody was opposed to eloquent speech, nor was he condemning good grammar. He was just seeking to make a point about the message rather than the messenger. You see, Moses was the instrument that God had chosen. But the man wasn't the important aspect of it. The message that he brought was most important of all. I've had a bee in my bonnet for many years, because I think that there are people in this land of ours who for years have been so obsessed with messengers they've forgot about the message. They've talked about preachers and they've followed preachers, and they've sat when they should have been in their own meetings and other meetings listening to men all the time, and it's always been about the men, when it ought always to be about the message. It's always good to encourage the preacher. It's right and proper to have a desire for meetings where the Word of God is preached. But when you and I go home from meetings talking about the messenger instead of the message, we've lost out. Because messengers come and go, but the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. Messengers fail. In fact, sometimes messengers can be hypocrites. Sometimes messengers can fall into sin. Sometimes messengers can let the work down. But the Word of God is settled in heaven, and it's always far more important than the messenger. Moses learned an important lesson. Through the signs he was given, through the speech he was given, through the strength he was given. Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law. He asked to be released, and then he headed back to Egypt to begin this great task. Do you remember one of the fears he had was Pharaoh, and that which he had left behind him? That day he slew the Egyptian. He wouldn't go back, for he was filled with fear. And God said to him, "Moses, it's now time to go back. because Pharaoh's no longer there and the people who were after your life have all gone. So what God was doing, with all that Moses had in his mind, all the difficulties, all the objections, God was removing them all one by one until he got Moses to that place where Moses realized that not only would God be with him, but that God would keep him and that God would strengthen him and that God would bless him. Look at the affection of his brother in verse 27 and 28. He returns, he's met by Aaron, he's comforted by his brother's presence. Look at verse 29 to 31 and the acceptance of the people. But Lord, I don't know how they're going to receive me. And when he returns, the people believed when they heard the Lord had visited the children of Israel. Is your heart filled this morning with fear and dread? Is your mind troubled about so many different things? Can I say to you today, whatever those fears are, and whatever the things at this moment in time are hurting you and holding you back and hindering you and causing you so much heartache, remember that God knows all about you and God can be trusted. God sees the things we can't see and God knows the things we don't know. And God is oftentimes, even though we don't see it, working behind the scenes. As he did for Moses, he does for us. Your future may be unknown. It's perfectly clear to him. Perfectly clear to him. And God says to you today, look, not only will I be with you, but I'm going before you. And I'm going before you to prepare the way, and I'm going to see you through. The problems we face just now might seem too big to handle, but nothing is impossible with God. Moses, I've removed all the fears. I've dealt with all the issues. Now trust me and step out in faith and let me be God and let me use you just as I please. And if Moses could learn that, and if we could learn that, then I'm convinced instead of being defeated often in our Christian lives, we'd go forward saying, ah, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength so to do. All his fears were dispelled. Now the way ahead is brighter, not without difficulties. But you and I'll discover that God was true to his word and God was faithful, especially when Moses needed him the most. Now let's bow together in prayer. Father, we pray that you would forgive us for oft times in our Christian lives doing things in our own strength, with the wrong motives and for our own glory. Sometimes, our Father, we lose sight of the fact that we depend entirely upon you, and yet we teach others, speak at meetings, sing for the Lord and do so many things in the energy of the flesh. Forgive us and write it upon our hearts today that with God nothing is impossible, that we are entirely dependent upon you. And whatever we're doing today in the service of God, that not only are you with us, but that we are on the victory side. Teach us the lessons that Moses had to learn, and teach them for our spiritual good. We pray in the Savior's name.